Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay long, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm so excited about this week's show because my very special guest is Angela Magasco. Let me tell you a little bit about my great friend, Angela. She is a marketing professional with over 30 years of experience. Angela is the founder and president of Market Viewpoint, which provides market research and consulting services to organizations that are interested in realizing higher rates of profitability through customer retention. One of the primary ways that Market Viewpoints helps businesses keep their customers longer is her mystery shopping service, and that's where she can perform evaluations on a wide variety of things going on in your business, and she does this for all kinds of organizations internationally. Prior to the formation of Market Viewpoint, Angela spent 17 years in the corporate world working for several industries, including real estate, healthcare, retail, and technology. Angela believes in work-life integration and works hard to ensure that family, friends, physical health, and spiritual connection and giving back are all part of her day. Angela, thank you so much for taking time from your very busy day to be our guest.
Thanks, Jim. It's really a pleasure to be here, and I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of today's programming.
Well, I love what you do. You've actually been a guest on Newsletter Guru TV, I think twice now.
And might have been, yeah.
Yeah, we get tons of comments from, especially when you and I get into our little gaffes.
We have a good time. Isn't that what it's about?
We sure do. So what's new in the world of market research, marketing, and customer retention for today's businesses?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we're all sort of scrambling right now trying to figure out the new landscape. I mean, I think you'll probably agree, Jim. You know, the thing that's happening right now is that companies are surveying like crazy. I mean, they're surveying their prospects, their customers, and just the marketplace in general. And what they're doing is they're really trying to get a bead on getting inside the head of the people that are going to be hopefully purchasing from them. And it doesn't matter whether it's the small startup company, that entrepreneurial company that's just getting going with one employee or the solopreneur, or if it's a Fortune 100 company. It doesn't make any difference. They're all surveying like crazy. And you probably noticed, and I'm sure some of the listeners have probably noticed as well, you know, you go into your local drugstore or pharmacy, or you go into your local supermarket and at the bottom of your receipt, there's an invitation to either call or go online to take a brief survey. And what these companies are doing is they're trying to collect data en masse. They're really trying to track and trend, and they're really trying to figure out what customers' hot buttons are and what it is that they need to be doing in order to attract as much of the marketplace as possible. So it's a lot of data that they're getting, and they're sorting through it. And then what they're doing is after they begin to see what some of the the trends are, they're actually getting involved in mystery shopping, which is sort of where our sweet spot is as a market research firm.
Angela, we all know what surveys are. I mean, I actually just used a survey a couple of weeks ago. As you know, I was kind of sampling some of the folks in my community to see if they'd want to be interested in going to a two-day live event. So it got some great feedback and intel. I mean, I really love doing surveys. What exactly is mystery shopping, and you know, how would entrepreneurs and small business owners use that?
Well, mystery shopping is a market research process. It's a market research tool that allows a company to evaluate their business from the customer's perspective. And isn't that a really nice way to be evaluating yourself? I mean, it's one thing for us to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, boy, aren't we doing a fine job? But it's another thing entirely to be getting feedback from the marketplace who may think that you're doing a good job or maybe not. And so if it's true that we're all in business to serve the customer, if the customer is really what pays our paycheck, then that's the person we need to be paying attention to. And so mystery shopping really allows companies to sort of be the fly on the wall, if you will, by sending people into their businesses, their establishments. And it doesn't really even have to be a storefront. It could be a call center that gets evaluated. It could be an entrepreneur who wants to know how they're doing on the phone, how they're selling. It's really anybody who has a customer that's really a good candidate for this service. And it really does allow a business to understand how the customer perceives them, which I think is an incredibly valuable tool, especially if you're hoping that you turn a prospect into a customer and you turn that customer into a repeat customer. And Jim, I've read your books, and they are all excellent, and I know that you talk this message all the time. So
it is about retention. I mean, the money is in – you hear the expression, the money's in the list. Well, the list in some cases is your customer base, and that is where the money is. You know, quick story, when I was in franchising for Bikeline, we had one of our franchisees really complaining that he wasn't doing well. And, you know, of course, when you're not doing well, it's always the franchisor's fault. And when you're doing great, it's because you're a genius entrepreneur. But anyway, he was making a lot of noise, Angela, that he wasn't doing well. And I had been familiar with mystery shopping even before we met several years ago. And so I sent a mystery shopper into his business. And the mystery shopper called me from the car and said, he's sitting on his counter watching TV.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And she said, I was in the store for a good 5 minutes, and he just said, anything I can do for you? And she goes, no, and he just kept watching the ball game. Oh, goodness.
No. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, Jim, a lot of times what small companies will do, and I always recommend starting in this place if you're a small company and you don't have a budget to dedicate to research activities. You know, what some companies will do is they'll hire, quote unquote, family and friends to help you mystery shop your business. I can remember years ago I had a restaurant that I was working with. It was a family-owned business, and I remember when they called my offices, because it was at that point that they were looking to create a more formal program. And the truth was they had exhausted all of their friends and family. And when friends and family would come in, the staff would know who they were, and they would know that they were probably mystery shopping. And so they had to formalize the process, because they sort of ran out of friends and family at that point. But it was also that it was the business was at that point in its growth cycle that it could really, you know, from a budgeting standpoint, support a mystery shopping program. And it was just a funny story about how some businesses, you know, kind of get started with this whole process. But it's a good place to start. You know, like I said, if you don't have the budget to dedicate to market research, you know, it's a really wonderful place to start out. You know, ask your cousin to come on in and or make a few phone calls and tell them that you want them to answer these three or four questions, you know, in exchange for, I don't know, maybe an extra turkey leg at the Thanksgiving table. I don't know. You know, it's whatever you wanna trade off with your cousin or your best friend who lives down the street.
And on that answer, people know exactly when we're recording this interview. Thanksgiving
well,
table.
You know, not necessarily, you know.
That's funny. Anyway, Angela, what kind of businesses actually mystery shop their operations? I mean, is this something that, you know, I know a lot of larger companies, you know, some chain mm-hmm. stores, things like that, mm-hmm. but do entrepreneurs really do this as well?
Yeah, they do. They do. I'm often amazed by the number of service businesses that use mystery shopping services, that contact Market Viewpoint for support. I'm surprised. You know, normally you think, oh, it's got to be the big retailers. You know, it's got to be the, you know, the Walmarts of the world and the Kmarts, and it's got to be, you know, the CVSs and the McDonald's. And while all of those organizations either are currently mystery shopping, are mystery shopping, have mystery shopped, or planned a mystery shop, you know, there are small companies who are doing this too, because you may be small today, but you're not going to stay that way forever if you're playing the game correctly. And, you know, understanding where your customer's coming from and meeting your customer's needs are going to put you in the position, that market leadership position, faster than not paying attention to what your customers need. So, you know, it's the child care center that has maybe one school or maybe two locations, but they're certainly not, you know, a part of a big, you know, franchise or chain concept. You know, it's the insurance agent who is looking to make sure that his or her staff is properly answering, you know, the telephone and has good product knowledge of the various products that insurance agents and agencies offer. You know, it's the financial advisor who is looking to find out how people perceive their approach to the marketplace. I'm always amazed at how people use this data. And, you know, by the same token, you know, as you said when you started out the question, you know, it's the big companies as well. But the way they got big is by paying attention to market trends and customer needs.
So we're going to pause here for a very brief time out. On the other side, I want to ask you, Angela, what kind of, you know, how do you go about setting up a program like this? And I specifically want to focus on, you know, entrepreneurs and kind of small business owners who are largely make up my audience. So mm-hmm. stay tuned, and we will be right back.
There are two types of small business owners. Those who are already profiting from the power of social media, building stronger, more powerful relationships with their customers and prospects. And those who are still sitting on the sidelines, wondering if it will work for them too. If you're still sitting on the sidelines, then no hassle social media is for you. Finally, there's a fast and easy done-for-you way to use social media marketing to connect with more customers and prospects, accelerating the know, like, and trust factor, all with no experience necessary. No Hassle Social Media not only shows you exactly what to do, it provides you with a ton of great content that you can use to promote your business and build stronger relationships with clients and potential clients. You get blog posts, Twitter tweets, Facebook posts, LinkedIn updates, and even video scripts. Get started profiting from social media today at www.nohasslesocialmedia.com. That's www.nohasslesocialmedia.com.
All right, we are back. Let's get right back to my very special guest, Angela Magasco. Angela, so if an entrepreneur or maybe a small business owner might even have 3 to 5 employees or maybe one or two kind of locations, or maybe they work remotely, how would they want to figure out what's going on in their business when they're not there?
Well, there's a couple of different ways that we can approach setting up a nice mystery shopping program for a company of that size. And let's just say that, You have maybe it's a small legal office that has, you know, just a couple of employees and maybe one or two lawyers, or it could be like that insurance agency that I was talking about. Maybe they've solicited friends and family in the past just to kind of test the waters and sort of gauge the temperature of, you know, how the marketplace is viewing them. Or maybe they've even done a SurveyMonkey survey, or they've done other, you know, maybe they've done a little social media survey. Maybe they put something out on LinkedIn or Facebook just to kind of, you know, get an idea of how the marketplace feels about insurance services or something like that. Normally what we like to do, Jim, is we like to sit down to find out what the company has done so far in terms of market research, if anything. And we then will ask the client company what they intend to do with the data that they collect. You know, are they using it for strategic planning purposes? Are they using it for HR purposes? You know, maybe they're, you know, maybe they're looking to use the information for budgeting reasons. And what we then do is we build their survey instrument or their form that the mystery shoppers will use for their evaluations, their field work. We build the form around their need or their ultimate goal for the program. They may be trying to assess how to develop a training program for their staff. And they're hoping that the mystery shopping data is going to supply them with where the weak links are in their operational chain. And so we spend some time because we really believe that form follows function. So there's a lot of time spent on the front end really having good, solid conversations with our clients. And we then develop a mystery shopping form that our shoppers will use in their evaluations and in their field work. And then we go into our database of shoppers and we vet those shoppers that are, you know, to the profile of the target audience that our client serves. And then we do you know, some orientation or some training, if you will, to get the shoppers up to speed on what's going to be expected of them for that assignment. And then off they go to collect the data and have their customer experiences and their interactions. And then on the back end, of course, we share that information with our clients for them to be able to sort of take that data in and make a determination of how they're gonna make changes in their organization in order to better serve the client, their client, and how to give their customers a better experience, an easier experience, a more fluid experience, you know, whatever the case may be.
You know, Angela, one of the things I say all the time, I usually say it in regards to investing in your marketing, but I would really include mystery shopping and surveys and things like this as part of your marketing budget. But one of the things I always say is it's only an expense to your business if it fails to produce a return on that investment. So,
I like
you
that.
Know, yeah, thank you. As I listen to people, and as I listen to you right now, I can sort of judge. There's probably some folks listening goes, well, money's so tight, I can't afford to do mystery shopping or this, that, and the other thing. And I think whether you're sending a newsletter to your clients, doing mystery shopping, doing whatever it is you're doing, if you're looking at it as if it's a zero-sum gain, in other words, let's say I got $1,000 in my checking account. If I spend $500, I've only got $500. But if you take that $500 and actually spend it on something like mystery shopping or some kind of client retention program, and your customers stay longer, they spend more, and they refer more, you're actually going to produce a huge multiple of that investment. So just want to kind of put that out there. Do you agree with – I'm assuming you agree with that.
I couldn't agree with you more. And just to backstop what you're saying, I don't know that companies can afford not to do this kind of market research. It's – you know, if you're doing something that is upsetting even a small portion of your customer base – you know, I look at it as, you know, the good old-fashioned bell curve. You know, you've got people on the extreme ends, people who love you, people who will never use you again, no matter what you do. And then you've got all of those people who are in the middle of the bell curve, those people that don't necessarily feel one way or the other based on the mediocre experience that you might be providing. And one of the reasons why, you know, I think if you don't couple that massive data collection, that survey kind of procedure that so many companies are engaged in right now, you know, the drugstores and the grocery stores with inviting you to come online and take a survey about your experience. One of the things that's interesting about those surveys is that, generally speaking, you'll get people, you'll get them responding to those surveys, but usually only if they're very happy or very angry about the level of service that they received. Usually if your experience was meh, mediocre, that middle of the bell curve, you're probably not going to take the time to call an 800 number and spend your time to respond to a survey or go online to take a survey, no matter how short it might be. So there's the danger, is you've got that population, that bell curve, that middle of the bell curve, that isn't wowed by you, and they're also not angered by you. They just kind of feel, yeah. And you really run the risk of losing those customers that are right in the middle, that you've worked really hard with your other marketing dollars to attract. You run the risk of losing them when something more powerful, when something better, easier, faster, less expensive comes along. So it's important to really stay in tune with how people are feeling about you, your prospects, as well as your existing customers. So,
Angela, what do businesses do with the data that you collect? I mean, either in surveys, focus groups, or through mystery shopping. You know, one of the things I see as a coach sometimes is you give some really great advice. You got the steps. Sometimes you're actually given a blueprint right in front of you on what to do, and then people don't do it. Is that I'm sure that's a common problem or a challenge, we'll call it, in your business as well, right?
Happens all the time. You provide clients with really good, solid feedback and data on, you know, where their companies are vulnerable, where there's a weakness, you know, in their customers' minds. And you provide them with the data, and if they don't have some sort of a system in place in order to be able to make course corrections in their businesses, yeah, they really are kind of throwing their money away. So one of the things that we at Market Viewpoint really like to encourage is that there be a gatekeeper of that data, that there be somebody who's really monitoring that information and then acting upon that information that's coming in from the customers and prospects if you're doing surveys, and then passing that data along or acting on that data, and then communicating, completing that communication loop back to the prospects and back to the customers, that you've heard them and that you've made the changes that they requested. And that's the part that I think a lot of companies fall down on, is that back-end communication. I mean, how nice for a customer to say, geez, you know, I really think you ought to be doing, you know, this. And how nice for a company to say, well, okay then, let's do that. It really makes the customer feel valued. You know, Jim, I was on the phone, actually it was yesterday, and I was on the telephone with a weight management company. It's one of the biggies. I will not name names. They are not a client of mine, but I think they should be. And the reason is I had a problem with my bill. There was a charge on my credit card that was inappropriate. And I contacted the 800 number, and this has been a problem that I've experienced with this company that's been ongoing. I mean, I've probably had this problem at least four times now, where I've actually had to stop, make a phone call, and ask them to reverse a charge on my credit card. And when I asked the young woman who was in the call center if I could have the name of the person in charge of customer service at her company, she said to me, and I kid you not, I am not allowed to give that information out.
Oh, nice.
you're more than welcome to email corporate headquarters, and here's the address. And the address is, you know, customerservice@andthenthenameofthecompany.com. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, those email addresses are just a bucket, a repository of customer complaints that are never going to be dealt with. And so I thought to myself, I don't even know that I want to spend the time sitting here composing an email, a professionally sounding email, for something that I don't think is ever going to even be read. So, you know, how can you be meeting a customer's needs if you've got somebody who's heading up customer service who has no time or interest in speaking with a customer? I mean, that part made me really sad for this company.
Yeah.
So it just all sort of fascinates me as I watch this environment of customer service and in the world of business. Sometimes I just have to scratch my head, Jim.
Hear you. Hey, we're down to about two and a half minutes, and I hesitate to ask another question, but I really wanted to ask one more. So let's see how brief I can be and how brief and you can be with your answer as well. What other things are you facing today? I mean, you're doing a lot of training and things like that with are you called multi-generational, or what's the program you're usually out there training on?
Yeah, we do a lot of training. We do sales training. We do generational differences training, and I think that's the training that you're asking about.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. I think one of the biggest challenges our customers are facing today is just how to market to the four very distinct generations that exist in today's marketplace, and not only how to market to them, but how to manage them when you've got people of different generations that are a part of your organization as your employees. How do you manage them? How do you motivate them? How do you inspire them? Because, you know, each generation is very unique and very, very different. So we wrote a book that addresses some of the issues with the various generations, and it's called Generational Marketing. And if your listeners care to, they can certainly go to marketviewpoint.com, click on my products tab, and if they scroll down just a little bit, they'll find the book right there at the website for purchase. So it's a great book. It gives you some ideas of different ways that you may want to begin to look at your organization, the way you may want to begin to look at your marketing. I mean, I work with some organizations right now that actually have a marketing plan for each generation that they serve. So it's becoming a very interesting and a very complex place out there.
You know, something else I say regarding marketing is one size doesn't fit all. And a lot of times I'm talking about different segments of your database. So customers, you know, the 80-20 rule and then even break it down further. But this is a whole new slant on one size doesn't fit all. You know, how you market to and work with and inspire different generations. I mean, if you're going to run a successful business, you need to know that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. What a great interview. Lots of information, Angela. How can people learn more about you, and what's a good website for them to connect with you?
Well, there's actually two that they can go on. Marketviewpoint.com is the website that they can go to for more information about mystery shopping and surveys and focus groups and just information on how to get a program set up. And that's for people who want to be mystery shoppers. If you're looking to pick up a little extra cash as you're getting your business off the ground, if you're an entrepreneur, I know I did that when I was starting my business. And also for people who are looking to start a mystery shopping program in their organization, in their business. And then also AngelaMagasco.com. It's AngelaM, as in Mary, EGASKO.com is more information about our training and our coaching services. So,
well, you're awesome. You're one of the smartest people I know in this area. So, thank you so much for
sharing
your brilliance with our audience. And you're a great friend.
Pleasure.
And, oh, awesome. Okay, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.